Hello, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're joining us from. Welcome to the School of Mary Live Cenacle Series. And this is the ebook series where we methodically take Reverend Father Joseph Leo Annuzzi's doctoral dissertation and we methodically go through it. And we're going to do that in a moment. But first, we're going to begin, as we always do, with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. We thank you, most holy Trinity, for enabling us to enter into union with you by means of prayer. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Fiat. The School of Mary invocation. O Mary, Mother of Mercy, Queen of the Divine Will, please teach us to love Jesus and live in the spirit of our vocation more and more, the spirit of faith, hope, and love, the spirit of obedience and of loving the holy will of God, the spirit of chastity, poverty, and humility, the spirit of mercy and apostolic zeal for the salvation of souls, especially those whom the boundless mercy of your divine Son has entrusted to us. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of the Divine Will, please pray for us. Fiat. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So again, a joy, grateful to have awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually, and truly blessed to be alive at this time. And I'm going to bring in Maureen. And ask Maureen to unmute herself. Hello, Maureen.
Hi, Peter. Hi, everybody. Good to be here again.
It's great to be here. I want to apologize to you and to everyone else. I was a little late to beginning the rosary today. I was, I don't know what I was doing. I guess I was a bit of daydreaming. And for those of you who speak Tagalog, I was tangayin. I was just, just doping around, I guess.
You were just being.
Is that what I was doing?
Yes.
Okay.
Well,
that sounds so much more elegant than what I really was
doing. Okay. That's okay. We forgive you.
But we're a couple minutes. Yeah, we're a couple minutes late. But you know what? We've got so much to be thankful for. And I don't know about everyone else, but every time lately, especially, it just seems like God is intensifying things. Every day, even if I don't read a lot, if I read a little bit, there's just something jumping out, like something that I said, wait a minute, have I read that before? Mm-hmm. Where was it? Like, for example, I don't know if I mentioned this last week or not, but did I mention volume 35, January 16th, 1938? Again, another one of those incredible truths. You know, we know we've got to move God. We know we have to ask for the gift. We know about all those things that Jesus told us, and we're writing them all down to make sure we do them all. But this one is sort of a common sense, but it went way past me. So volume 35, January 16, 1938, I'm just going to read two lines, not the whole passage. Jesus speaking, quote, "Now if the soul responds to the call, the gift is confirmed." I'll repeat that. "Now if the soul responds to the call," remember, this is the greatest calling that God can give to mankind. It's greater than any other call. It's the highest calling, I think, is the exact words that Jesus uses. So let's go back to this. "Now, if the soul responds to the call, the gift is confirmed. If she does not respond, the gifts remain suspended between heaven and earth." Wow. Mm-hmm. And cool. How many gifts, I'm guilty of a lot. How many gifts have I not responded to that are just sort of sitting there instead of being actualized? By not just me, but by all of, you know, every time one of us is given a gift, we all benefit. So this is really a litmus test. So again, how do we respond? I guess there's a myriad of different ways. Gratitude is the first thing that comes to my mind. We just say, "Thank you, Lord. Yes, I'll do my best. I need your grace. Thank you, Lord." Again, thank you for allowing me to wake up today, to be here, to have a roof over my head, to have food on my table, to have my family with me, or my family where I'm able to converse with them and speak with them. You know, everything we have is a gift. And I guess that gift is not confirmed until we respond. And sometimes God's going to ask us for a specific response, of course, like he did to Louisa. But our response can just be gratitude. I mean, am I missing it? Am I oversimplifying this, Maureen?
No, I think the simpler that God is simple, we make it complicated, don't you think, Peter?
Yeah, I like that
He's
line.
He's simple. Simple
truths for complicated people, not the other way around.
Yeah.
But that just moved me because it's so easy. I mean, how much effort does it take to respond? And isn't that our job to respond? Don't we respond to each other throughout the day? Someone says thank you, says you're welcome, hello, how you doing? You know, it's always an exchange of something. There's a correspondence, there's a response. And here, this is the greatest response because we're responding to God Almighty. We're responding to His Blessed Mother, our Advocate. So I was just taken back by that. And I said, well, okay, so here's another one that we have to make a list of this. We have to move God. We have to ask for the gift. We have to, the new series coming up, we have to,
I would say you have to give God a little time. Like, instead of watching TV, maybe take out the rounds or instead of listening to the radio, listen. Because if you don't know it, you're not going to love it. You're not going to want it.
Unless you're listening to Radio Maria, then it's okay.
Yeah.
Then you can listen to the radio. But yeah.
To know God is to love Him. To know the divine will is to love it. I mean, not know it. I was listening to Father Ioannidis the other day, and he said, the divine will, you're learning even in heaven. So it's constant.
It never stops.
So
never
if people stops. Are like, well, when, like, and he said, this is not something you can put in your, you say, okay, I read it, put it in my back pocket, I'm done. It's going to go on for the rest of your life. So I thought, oh, good. Because the pressure's off. You're just going to read and you're going to learn and you're going to love it for the rest of your life. And so that's less pressure. It's not like you're studying for a test or you have to get all this down. It's a way of life. And you just have to decide to put other things aside. And life is easy now. Life is easy for us now. It's a perfect time to learn, I think.
Yeah, it certainly is. You know, and since it is a life change, a change of life, then I think it even makes it easier because I think we've talked about this before. The more we practice something, the more it becomes natural. And the more it becomes natural, it can eventually become second nature. And then as long as it remains a second nature, it eventually will convert into or morph into our nature. So this transformation can be very quick. If God wants it, it can be in a split second. Or it can take, you know,
would that be nice?
To Louisa. Yeah. It all depends on what God wants. And, you know, either way, I guess it's okay as long as we persevere and we know that we're going to continue the journey. I think that it does. It takes a lot of pressure off us for what we don't finish on earth. We're going to finish later. But that's why Jesus says also, but he's encouraging us because he says, okay, I'm going to give you a chance. I'm going to redouble your love for me. I'm going to redouble you filling those voids that must be filled before you can enter heaven. I'm going to give you that opportunity on earth. And I'm going to give it to you during that, again, the test, the privation. When we sort of sense a dryness in our spiritual life, that's when he wants us to really dig deep down and persevere, and he's going to redouble our love. He's going to help us fill those voids quickly, more quickly, so that we can work toward minimizing to at least or eliminating purgatory. Again, if we live this gift completely and perfectly on earth, we totally avoid purgatory. That's Jesus, what Jesus says. Again, perfectly and completely on earth. Most of us will not do that, but we will journey enough. We will have enough to garnish a shorter, in fact, maybe a much shorter time in purgatory. And not just for us, but for those already in purgatory. Again, this is accidental glory that everyone benefits from. I mean, this scenario that God has painted, it's the hero of heroism. And we're not doing anything. We're just cooperating with God. And he's making us all humble heroes. So beautiful.
Yeah. And in this time when evil is so great, we should just be like, I laugh in the face of evil. We have the divine will, you know, like it makes evil like who was it? The Curé of Ars. Is that his feast day today? When the devil would come, he'd say, oh, it's only you. And when you're in the divine will, or when you're, you know, the divine, when you realize the power of the divine will, it's almost like we should be saying that too. Oh, it's only you. I have the divine will, or I'm learning the divine will, or I'm doing my acts in the divine will. And he's out, you know, he's probably frustrated with all this beautiful teaching and everything else. So it's a good weapon.
It's the end of the game for Satan, but I don't think the vast majority of souls believe. I think they almost feel like Satan is winning. Yes, he's had control. Again, God's permissible will has allowed him to sort of have a control, if we allow him to. Not everyone does. But it seems like, you know, he's been sort of pulling all the punches, playing all the cards the last 100 or so years, at least. But God is really, I mean, how do we get tested? How do we pass the test? We need these situations. We need these obstacles to overcome.
Yeah.
And God is making it very easy if we allow ourselves to lose faith. But he always said in scripture, when I return, will I find faith? Or when he did a healing, performed a healing, it's your faith that's healed you. I think over striving to get the point to us that faith is so vital, so important, that we must cling to it. Because once we lose faith, we lose hope. And once we lose hope, we pretty much lost everything. So can't let that happen. Things are too good. And God keeps giving us enough signs, enough miracles. I mean, the fact that we're here today, enjoying this gift, journeying in this gift, being given every opportunity to grow deeper and more quickly. I mean, with Father Anuzzi, Father Celso, Mother Gabriel, I mean, Father Young, Father Brown, I mean, the list goes on and on.
Yeah.
I mean, everything is given to us. And it's all there for us. So it's really good. There's nothing to be worried about, really. And again, as things get worse, as the room gets darker, as Jesus even alludes to, that just means when the light of the world comes, it's going to be that much easier to see him. So fear not. It's going to get dark, and it may get darker. But just like St. Cyril Jerusalem said, flee from the wolves, gather with the sheep, never leave the church. Mm-hmm. Great advice from, I think he's a father and doctor of the church. I think so.
Peter, okay, I have a little thing I wanted to read. I read it this morning. It says, Jesus says, in these times, all the elements uproaring are bearers of goods, and this is necessary to reorder my kingdom. It is the greatest thing, and it takes the uproaring in order to purify the earth. Therefore, I do not want you to oppress yourself too much, but rather keep on with your continuous flight, with your insistence, so as to acquire the complete strength to win the kingdom of the supreme fiat. So,
where is that from?
That's volume 22. And it just reminded me of, like, we can take little peeks of what's going on and everything, but
yeah.
I mean, spend more time reading and learning about the divine will, and then seeing that you kind of need a divine sanctity to feel peace about everything. If we stay in the human sanctity, we might lose our peace, but God's given us the opportunity to have a divine sanctity. And if we have that, or little bits of it, we can see that everything is the plan of God. And when things come down, we're saying, thank God, come down. Bring it all down, Lord, because that means your kingdom's coming. And so it gets you excited. Of course, it hasn't really happened yet, but you know, we're getting ready. And so we prepare ourselves so that when it comes, we say, yeah, we knew. Just like Our Lady's been telling us for years.
She spelled it all out.
She has. Yeah.
You had to listen to her. And
yeah, we don't get shocked by anything. We're good parents. Yeah.
No. And it's all, you know, it's all here. And you're right about, you know, we need the tests. We need to stay steadfast. And we need to, we need to enjoy each other. We need to really come together. You know, many people are saying, you know, we've got to be united. All the groups have to come together. But to be united, you must be united in truth. Truth must be the center of the unification. If some people are seeing green and some are seeing blue, yeah, it's okay to see the divine will in different shades, let's say of a different shade of blue. But once we're out of the realm of what's accurate, then it's really difficult. How do you unite with somebody that may be misunderstanding the divine will? So as we pray, we don't get angry, we don't get mad. But the call for unity, we all have to be on the, we all have to be centered in truth. So that truth must be disseminated. It must be actualized in each of every one of us. We all have to agree to it. And then I think the unification will happen. It will happen over time. But right now there's just too many differences of not even of opinion. There's I think too many differences of the definition of what truth is. And I think that's where we're.
Isn't that a famous question that's been through the centuries? What is truth? I mean, that seems like it's always, you know, people are saying, what is truth? I mean, what is the endless question that everyone thinks they have the answer to. But anyway, we just keep moving, right? I mean,
that's all we can keep doing.
Yeah.
And God's going to keep, you know, every time we think we're sinking, God's going to give us that tire tube or that inflatable raft, and he's going to put it right underneath our back or our butt, and he's going to just, you know, take us up out of the water into a little bit of a safety zone until we get into the next rough current. And again, it's just going to happen. That's why, you know, you think salmon have an easy time going against the stream, up the stream. Well, they have a very difficult time. Not many make it. You know, Jesus tells us also that a great part of humanity is going to be wiped out. Our Lady, again, you talk about Our Lady. Our Lady mentioned that also.
Yeah.
That great part, what's a great part of humanity? It's a lot of people.
Yeah.
We have to do everything we can, not just for ourselves, but for humanity. Because again, this is not about, Jesus says, this is not about making a saint, but about preserving.
Saving souls.
This gift, which is going to save souls. That's exactly what it is. So, it's all good. And we've got some great stuff. We're finally moving on to the next footnote. We're actually on 301, I think. So, you know, Maureen, in the interest of time, we've gone through this a few times. Why don't we just do this? Why don't we start? Let's see, what time is it? 20 after? Okay. Why don't we start right here to Louisa, just this line, and stops at 301, then we can go to 301. We can talk about
that. Okay. To Louisa, Jesus reveals that the aim of man's existence is to live in God's divine will and to restore creation to its original splendor by the assimilation of Jesus's groans of love.
That's one line. This is Father Inuzzi's summary. He summarized what Louisa was writing, was transcribing from Jesus and Mary. He gives us a summary as to what was being said. He then drives us into the volumes. And all of this was done through the Gregorian University of Rome, which 12 or 14 popes have gone through, authorized by the Holy See. And all of this received abrogation, which is the scholastic word for approval. So it's all been approved. His summary, and then going into the volumes. And again, wow, what a great gift we have in this in of itself, as we await for that critical edition to be released from the Vatican, which we're not sure when that's going to be, because again, as the Archbishop of Corrado informed us back in 2020, that there are certain ambiguities, not errors, but certain issues where the Church is having difficulty explaining what exactly Jesus means by this or by that, and disseminating that to the faithful. So they're waiting for a theologian that can help explain that. They haven't asked Father Inuzzi yet, but maybe they will one day. But in the absence of that, think about what God is doing. He's giving us ample opportunity to grow in faith. Because I have to believe once the Church gives its final stamps of approval, some of that faith will be converted to obedience because the Church says so. But right now, we're in faith. Of course, we know that this is true. We know that Luis's spiritual director of 17 years was Saint Hannibal de Francia. Also, he was the spiritual director to Melanie Calvert, who was the seer of Our Lady of La Salette, a fully approved apparition of our Holy Catholic Church. You know, another thing too, he said, Marie, we talk about, you know, not becoming despondent and staying positive. Saint Hannibal, he worded it so carefully. I don't know exactly the way he said it, but he said something like he shares this gift with those he feels inspired to do so. And my take on that was he doesn't just shout this stuff. He doesn't just tell everyone he meets, hey, did you hear about the divine will? Because you want to be demoralized, if you want to be rejected, if you want to be saddened, start talking to people about the divine will and get those 99% rejection ratio. But St. Hannibal said, that's not the way I do this. I only share this to those I feel prompted to. I wish I had the exact words, but it's in his letters. And another thing that he said, maybe this is good advice to us. He says he only read one or two passages a day so that he can fully masticate them. He can fully chew on them, fully digest them, fully ponder them, meditate on them, contemplate on them. That's why I can't read the calendar. I mean, sometimes it's 10 readings. I can't do 10 readings and focus on it. Usually I can't do 10 readings, period. But for those of us who can't do that, rest assured, St. Hannibal said, I only read one or two a day so I can better understand that. Again, I think this divine will, different than other facets of our faith, is its quality over quantity. It's not how much we read, but how well we read it, understand it, digest it, and of course the altar, which is put into practice. Well, we become what we know. We must use the knowledge for that transformation, that transmutation, which is from the inside out. And it all makes sense. And then you're all on the same page too. St. Louis de Montfort said that this intermediate coming, this third coming that St. Cyril of Jerusalem and St. Bernard of Clairvaux speak about, it's a hidden coming. It's invisible, while the other two are visible. So this is coming into us in an invisible manner. Mm-hmm. It's changing us from the inside out. And then again, the body permeates the soul. So we're correcting. It's almost like a root cause. We're addressing the root. God's addressing the root cause. Instead of going through the body to get to the soul, and you know, through that filter, some is going to get lost. He's going right to the soul, fix the soul, which will make the body express the soul. Everything will be fixed at one time. And nobody can stop it because everything is going underground. It's like underground wiring. You know, the winds can't affect it. Nobody can take this. The only way that we cannot get this and receive this is if we say no to it. And Jesus says that. He says, I had to make this gift available to everyone, except if they did not want it. And I don't know if I have that quote somewhere. But anyway, I've read it enough times. So it's available for everyone. It's available, and it's in all situations and all circumstances and in every place, except, as he says, for those who do not want it. Again, a free will is never going to be inviolated. It's always going to be there for us. He wants us to, of course, exercise it, to defer our human will, not to give it up, because we need it to exercise it, to opt for the divine will. And that's what's so beautiful about this. We're not losing anything. We're gaining everything. What's that? I heard a beautiful quote the other day. I think this was in a song. It says, I am far from perfect, but I found the perfect love. And I think anyone journeying in the divine will, these words, I think, would be echoed by them. So it's beautiful. 301, Splendor, Original Splendor by the Assimilation of Jesus' Groans of Love. And that's footnote number 301. Let's see what Father has done here, where he's driven us into 301. So sorry if you're getting a little dizzy. This is getting very long. I had to take some of this out so I don't have to go back so far. But 301 is a, all right, let me bring the pointer out, Maureen, so we can, okay. So I can figure out what I'm doing here.
Volume 11, February 24th, 1917. In receiving communion, the soul must be consumed in Jesus and give him the complete glory of his sacramental life in the name of all. Having received communion, I was holding my sweet Jesus tightly to my heart, and I said, my life, how I wish I could do what you yourself did in receiving yourself sacramentally, so that you may find your own contentments, your own prayers, your reparations in me. And my always lovable Jesus told me, my daughter, in this small circle of the host, I enclose everything, and this is why I wanted to receive myself, to do complete acts which would glorify the Father worthily, as creatures would receive a God. And I gave to creatures the complete fruit of my sacramental life. Otherwise, it would have been incomplete for the glory of the Father and for the good of creatures. This is why in each host there are my prayers, my thanksgivings, and everything else which was needed to glorify the Father and which the creature was supposed to do for me. So, if the creature fails, I continue my crafting in each host as if I were receiving myself again for each soul. Therefore, the soul must transform herself in me, form one single thing with me, make my life, my prayers, my moans of love, my pains her own, as well as my heartbeats of fire, with which I would want to ignite them. But I find no one who abandons herself as prey to my flames. In this host, I am reborn. I live, I die, and I consume myself, but I find no one who consumes herself for me. And if the soul repeats what I do, I feel myself being repeated as if I were receiving myself once again. And I find complete glory, divine contentments, outpourings of love that match me, and I give to the soul the grace to be consumed of my own consummation.
So if anybody ever needed an explanation as to why it's compulsory or mandatory that we attend Mass and receive Holy Communion each week, I think this would serve as a great, as a great answer to that. It's everything. In essence, if we think about it, the Holy Eucharist is the divine will for 15 or 20 minutes given to us to really create addicts out of us, to have us be addicted to his divine love so that we can embrace this 15-minute journey before we take advantage and say fiat to his offer of a perpetual, never-ending journey, like we spoke about earlier. This learning curve never ends. It's a complete bend, and it never ends. We never make it around the corner, and that's okay, because at every corner we see God. So we know now that the Eucharist is everything, and in being everything is designed to bring us to the divine will. It's divine to bring us the most direct way to sanctification. And because of that, Jesus explains also, I think it's in volume 12, he talks about the churches closing. And this is like back in 1925. There were probably no churches closing back then. But he says something to the effect that if you see the churches closing, know that it is I closing them. Jesus speaking, Jesus closing the churches. And you may say, why would he be closing a church? He goes on to further explain. The Holy Eucharist designed for and to help assist the creature in receiving eternal salvation. But because of receipt of the Holy Eucharist in a stale form, lack of reverence, lack of disposition, a whole myriad of different things. Jesus says it has become a tool to bring us toward our damnation, mm-hmm. not our salvation. So how does Jesus rectify this? He closes the churches. Then the push to damnation is stopped. So there's always we always look at what Jesus does, and we look, there may be a contrary lesson, a contrary purpose. You know what this reminds me of too, Maureen? It reminds mm-hmm. me of when Jesus gives us, again, one of those explications, those Article 66 of the Catholic Catechism. No new public revelations are expected before the glorious return of our Lord, but it is for the generations to better understand what's already been given. He talks about his time with Herod. And there's always been that proverbial question, why didn't Jesus just tell Herod, I'm God, and just, you know, knock him down or do something? Mm-hmm. And he explains it. Again, I don't know what volume it's in. I should write it down next time. But he says, the reason, I'm going to paraphrase, the reason why I didn't communicate to Herod, why I didn't tell Herod who I am, because Jesus knew that nothing was going to change Herod's mind. And because we're judged on how much we know, mm-hmm. he says, if I had given him more information and more reason not to do what he was going to do, he still would have done it and thus would have thrusted his soul deeper into hell. So mm-hmm. out of love for Herod, out of wanting to protect his soul as best he could, Jesus chose not to speak.
Wow.
Because the least amount of information that Herod had from Jesus, again, knowing God knows what Herod's going to do or not do. Like, yeah, he knew Herod wasn't going to change his mind. So the more he had reason to change his mind and didn't do so, the more, in essence, trouble he would have been in. So God knows what he's doing. And that's why sometimes when we go through our day or our weeks or our months and strange things start happening, look around. Because, you know, right around the corner, when something strange happens, God is working a miracle in each and every one of our lives. And we may not see it right away, but it's going to happen. Yeah. So, yeah, receiving communion, I think. And also, if you have Father Inuzzi's dissertation, I'll go right to you, Maureen. You go in the back and just look under, go in the glossary for Eucharist. And there's probably, gosh, at least 20 passages where Father Inuzzi will bring you into the volumes again, where Jesus speaks about the Eucharist. And it's mind-boggling. You know, we can really do lessons. I like doing theme-based lessons. Like, you know, if you, let's say you feel like searching for the Eucharist. Well, go into those 20 passages, copy and paste them, bring them. If you have the ebook of Father Inuzzi's dissertation, you can copy and paste. You can make it, you can create audiobooks out of it. It's great. It's like $8 online. But just put together a compilation so that we can better understand what God's presenting to us. Maureen, I interrupted you.
No, you didn't.
I did.
No. I forget what I was saying then. So I'm glad you interrupted.
Oh gosh. But that's why it's really good to use the glossary. I love doing that. Mm-hmm. And also when you have a most of our volumes on the website are Word docs, so you could also do a word search in the Word doc. You know, like look for Eucharist, and it'll highlight anywhere in that passage or that volume where the word Eucharist is. You know, there's been some talk. I think Father Inuzzi is working on a concordance where we can put up a theme and then bring up all the passages that relate to that theme. Wow. But that's an onerous job. He's got so much on his plate right now, and until certain things are completed, until we probably have that critical edition, that probably won't be a reality, because I think that would want to be as accurate as we can. But he's working on it. He has a form of it, Father Inuzzi, because if you attend his Q&A, he gets a question. All of a sudden, he's got like five or six passages. Well, where do you get those passages from? You know, he's not looking through a book. It's like spontaneously. Yeah. He's got something that he's working on. And he's waiting to disseminate that when it's complete. But that's really beautiful. That passage, and I think it explains a lot. Again, how much time we can't give it 15 minutes. I mean, God has so much that he can tell us. Remember what Jesus says, the more you masticate on this, the more flavor you're going to receive, the more we're going to understand. And again, it's just, if we have that desire, God can't wait to give us this gift. And again, it's, to receive the gift and to live in the divine will, we don't have to wait till we're living it perfectly. Remember, there's three ways right. Jesus tells us that we can live the divine will.
Thank
perfectly,
goodness.
Imperfectly, and completely. So he says, all we need to do is be in a state of grace and have an ardent desire and upright intention. And we know what an upright intention means now, because we just found that in the volumes, but I can't find it now. Oh, here it is. Upright intention, definition. I don't have the passage. I don't have the volume number, but I have the date, so you can definitely find it through this. July 21st, 1906, the upright intention purges the action. Quote, having come for a little, blessed Jesus told me, my daughter, all human actions, even holy, done without a special intention for me, God, come out of the soul full of darkness. While if they are done with an upright and special attention to please me, they come out full of light, because the intention is the purge of the action. So that's an upright intention, wanting to do it to please God in love and honor God. And that's our upright intention. So Jesus tells us, state of grace, ardent desire, upright intention, we can receive this gift at any time. Which means right now, if we're in the state of grace, if we have an ardent desire, if we have an upright intention, which I think most, if not all of us do have, we can receive it right now. It's when that gift is given, that's when our work begins. Because now, how much are we going to uncover? How much are we going to work to allow Jesus to divulge these truths? Well, we have to put some work into that. And the more
I think it can be overwhelming when you begin. And I would say that you don't have to be perfect to live in the divine will, but it takes you to perfection.
Right.
You know, that's your goal. But you don't have to be perfect. So for people that are just beginning, none of us are perfect. That's the great thing. I mean, it's a gift given to imperfect people. But like you said, we have to have an ardent desire. So, I mean, were we perfect to get redemption? No.
No.
We're never perfect. No. He still loves us. Like we love our own little ones. So.
Well, you know, Marie, I think this is so important to recognize that, because I mean, some folks out there may be thinking that they've got to read the 36 volumes 17 times and spend 35 years doing this before they can receive the gift. That's that's not true. I mean, that's not what Jesus says. Jesus says you can receive it immediately.
Yeah.
Again, it's like this mansion of Christ. He allows us into the foyer.
Mm-hmm.
State of grace, ardent desire, upright intention. And then it's up to us. How many rooms do we want to see? How much unveiling of the furniture do we want to see? How much are we going to do? But it's not difficult to receive initially the entrance into the gift. And Jesus tells us that. So once I think that takes all the pressure off.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, I'm in. Now, let me relax. Let me compose myself. Let me work my schedule. I have to make this a priority in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And then God's graces start to hit us. Remember, grace anticipates the soul. So whenever we need the grace of God to be able to do this, and we have so much that we juggle, most of us, the other responsibilities. We don't want to neglect this. We don't want to neglect our other responsibilities, because God wouldn't have given it to us if we couldn't handle everything combined. So it's all a matter of really wanting this. And that's really the true disposition. When Jesus says you're not yet disposed yet, they didn't hunger to the point where they needed to. Mm-hmm. And it's 6,000 years since the fall of Adam. Jesus says, I'm going to put everything in place with my mother so that there's nothing lacking, nothing missing, so that anyone who wants this gift has all the resources, everything they need to receive it and to thrive. Not just to be alive, but to thrive in this gift. And he says, the time is now.
Mm-hmm.
Who are we to say, no, Jesus, I think you're wrong. I don't think this is the time. Look at that.
Mm-hmm.
No, Jesus says, this is the time. So fear not, it's here. And now it's up to us. Remember, we did nothing to deserve this gift. This wasn't merit-based. Mystical gifts are given unequally to God, to whomever he wishes, to whatever extent he wishes, when he wishes. He's given it to us. He's given at least one mystical gift, if not many, and there are many that he's given us. Now it's up to us what we do with it. Do we accept it? Do we confirm the gift? Where is that quote? Now, if the soul responds to the call, well, we know we received knowledge of this gap. We know what it is to whatever extent we know. If the soul responds to the call, the gift is confirmed. We get to keep it. If she does not respond, the gift remains suspended between heaven and earth. What else is suspended between heaven and earth? Everything that Adam and Eve had, all those gifts that were supposed to be passed down to their heirs, were all suspended between heaven and earth. Jesus says, living in the divine will, journeying in the divine will, is living halfway between heaven and earth. Can you imagine he's giving us this opportunity? Us, nobodies. Miserable sinners that we are. Wretched. Amused by our wretchedness. Not our sinfulness, deliberate sinfulness, but our inability to do anything very well without him. Yeah. It's amazing. Any last thoughts, Marie?
No, you said it all. No.
I said too much, but we've got some great things coming up, though, if I may. This Sunday is the Feast of the Transfiguration. We are so blessed to have with us Father Joseph Iannuzzi. Speak of him. Things will kick off at 1:30 with adoration and the Holy Rosary and the Divine Will. And Father will give us a talk, followed by a Q&A session on the Divine Will, and that's between 2:15 and 3:30. So we have Father for an hour and 15 minutes. That's this Sunday, August 6th. And then we have a debut series, beginning Wednesday, August 9th, at 7 p.m. And this is about enchanting God. Maureen, could you please read this read?
Sure. January 16th, 1938. How the divine will calls the creature in its acts in order to donate its works to her. If the creature answers, she calls God and receives the gift. Exchange of wills between the creatures and God. Now, if the soul responds to the call, the gift is confirmed. If she does not respond, the gifts remain suspended between heaven and earth.
So we just read.
Yeah.
It says crossing the exile. Crossing the exile is journeying in the divine will, clawing our way back. And Jesus tells us that he's so pleased, so enamored, so moved by our journey. And Maureen, last thing I'd like you to read. I'd like you to read this little caption here from Volume 17.
Yeah, I'm reading it now. It's beautiful.
This basically will give us the crux of what this series is going to be about.
Okay. My will, living in the creature who is crossing the exile, is as though operative and ruling in the house of the creature, which is more amazing. And this is why she forms for me a more pleasing enchantment, which charms me and holds such attraction for my gaze as to captivate me, to fix my pupils upon her without being able to move them. You do not know how necessary this enchantment is in these times in which so many evils will come. Oh, Lord, teach us. This is great.
And two things to follow up with that. Number one, it's volume 17. It has, it possesses the church's imprimatur, Nihil Obstat. That's number one. Number two, let's just ask ourselves a question. That's what Jesus says in a volume that has the church's imprimatur, Nihil Obstat. We believe that to be true. We don't. It's okay. Just tell Jesus, I don't believe it, Jesus. I don't believe that's what you said. The church must be wrong. But if you do believe that, you do not know how necessary this enchantment is. He just explained to us how we can enchant him in these times that are coming right around the corner, perhaps, in which so many evils will come. God is, again, just like our Blessed Mother Maria, God is walking us right into the line of defense where we need to be. Yeah. He's not going to force us there. How much clearer does he have to be?
Right.
So that's why we're going to be starting this this weekly center. Crossing the exile. We want to not only move God, like we learned a few months ago, we want to enchant God, which, as Jesus tells us, are so necessary in these times in which so many evils will come. We do it for God. We do it for our families. We do it for all souls, past, present, and future. God's giving us the greatest opportunity to be the humblest of heroes in a world in need of a hero. Doesn't take much to be heroic when God's giving you all the gifts to become a hero. Thanks be to God for everything He's done.
Yeah.
Thank you, Maria.
Thanks, Peter.
Hopefully we'll see everyone on Sunday with Father Anuzzi. This is great. The Feast of the Transfiguration. Should be exciting. Thanks be to God. Maureen, see you next week.
Okay. Bye, Peter.
Actually, see you Wednesday.
See you Wednesday.
Next Wednesday. All right, bye, everyone. Be nice.
Okay, bye, everybody.
Each other very much, very soon. Love everyone. Bye-bye.